Welcome to this Control Risk podcast. I'm Stephanie Nome, Senior Managing Director. The world is urbanizing rapidly. Already more than half of the planet's people live in cities, and that number is growing. Forecasts by the United Nations and its report on world urbanization prospects predict that the urban population in Africa will rise from 399 million in 2010 to 661 million in 2020, and 1.23 billion by 2050. A similar picture exists in Asia Pacific and Latin America. The United Nations also estimates that 60% of the area expected to be urbanized by 2030 is yet to be built. In this podcast, I will be talking to Control Risk senior analyst Sveto Konechka about the political, social, and regulatory risks associated with urbanization. Hi, Sveto. Do investors and developers take political risk into account when considering an urbanization project?
Legal and financial risks tend to be well analyzed and mitigated. Others, such as political and regulatory risks, typically receive less attention. Governments, which tend to advertise good investment opportunities, do not usually warn investors about the potential for negative interference by state and non-state actors. So many investors and developers ignore political risk, but this of course is at their own peril, since political risks have equally large impact on urbanization projects as legal or financial risks.
So what happens if these investors and developers do not take into account the political risk?
Well, disregarding political risk can lead to significant delays to the project and to spiraling costs for investors and developers. In the worst case scenario, the project can be cancelled or blocked. That's why it's essential to examine political risk before starting projects, since political risks are not always obvious before the start, nor can they be addressed by extending deadlines or devoting more resources. For example, for infrastructure or urbanization projects, political risks can range from nationalization or expropriation of assets by the state to unreliable contract enforcement. In particular, for projects with attractive assets in quickly developing urban areas, the threat from nationalization or expropriation is higher. Similarly, in countries where the courts are weak or corrupt, enforcing contracts can prove difficult, leading to large costs and delays.
So, what would be the strategy for minimizing the impact of political risk?
With such political risks as expropriation or nationalization, purchasing insurance may be one course of action. However, deeper and broader public engagement, especially with national and local governments or local communities, can reduce the risk of political intervention in the first place. Targeted interaction with relevant public bodies also provides an avenue for project stakeholders to influence policy, which will help them mitigate the impact of political risks further down the line. Here I should point out that any effective risk mitigation plan should include monitoring, assessment, and review of relevant national and local developments.
Social risks are also present in a urbanization project. What sort of social risk might a developer face in a site in a large African city, for example?
Social risks emerge because of the impact that large-scale projects can have on the local economy, on livelihoods, and the environment. In particular, local communities and stakeholders may mobilize against controversial projects with protests and other forms of direct action against construction, such as site incursion or even denied access. Local unrest and violence against large-scale developments are a common risk facing many developers in African cities. Frustrated or unrealistic economic expectations of the local population can often turn them against projects. Moreover, disputes over compensation for land and buildings can also give rise to social risks. So when working in a complex environment, such as many African countries, more efforts are required to understand and manage the local community dynamics.
So I guess this is very relevant for some of the significant projects that are currently underway in Africa. I'm thinking about the Gonza City or the Tatu City in Kenya, or La Cité du Fleuve in DRC, or even the Eco-Atlantic and Sanitary City in Nigeria, right?
Absolutely.
And of these risks that you just mentioned, do they actually apply in other parts of the world and Africa?
Social risks can present themselves almost anywhere, from emerging markets in Africa to the well-regulated mature markets in Western Europe. Social risks can emerge even after all the required permits and licenses have been obtained. Although a company may have complied with all legal and policy requirements, these may not capture the grievances of local communities.
So, I know that the political and social risks cross over some regulatory risks, but can we say a few words specific to regulatory risks?
Regulatory risks arise from changes in the regulatory framework or from individual regulatory decisions. They often go hand in hand with political risks, since unpredictable political environment can elevate regulatory risks. But even where political risks are low, the difference in length between political cycles, usually around 4 years, and project life cycles, which in some cases can be for decades, such as in power and transport projects, can expose infrastructure projects to regulatory risks.
So, political, social, and regulatory risks sit alongside each other and can, of course, overlap. What can an investor, a developer, or a contractor do to mitigate these risks and maximize their chances of success?
The best way to approach all risks in urbanization projects is through an inclusive risk management framework covering all hazards and threats. With such risk management approach, political, security, and regulatory issues are considered alongside environmental, security, and operational risks, as well as many others facing the project. But far from being a static document, it should be a dynamic process, regularly reviewed and updated to ensure effective mitigation of identified risks.
So, if I summarize, the dynamic characteristic is very important, and you actually need to engage with external stakeholders, monitor the developments of your environment continually, and sound business conduct, especially in regards to ethics and corruption. We can probably say that resilience and sustainability in urbanization, and therefore in the related infrastructure projects, are now fundamental. Not just because of the long-term and capital-extensive nature of this project, but also because stakeholders are more focused on its impact on social development and well-being. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Zvere Kunesta, for your great input on urbanization and infrastructure project. I'm Stéphanie Nome, Senior Managing Director, and we will be at the MIPIM event in Cannes from 15 to 18 of March 2016 if you want to discuss with us more about infrastructure projects.